Phone lines are open for you, so give us a call at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. The Patriots lose to the New York Jets today. 30-27 is your final score. A lot of different things happened in this game, but I think the one thing many of you will be talking about is the overtime in which an unsportsmanlike penalty on a 56-yard field goal attempt was called on Chris Jones. 56-yard attempt was no good by Nick Folk, wide to the left, as he tried to get a little bit too much behind it, of course, with a 56-yard attempt. But Chris Jones was called for a penalty for pushing his own guy into the pile in an attempt to block the kick. And the Patriots give the Jets 15 yards. And with those 15 yards, Nick Folk obviously shortened up that field goal attempt, put the Jets in much better field goal position after that penalty. After the penalty, Chris Ivory ran the ball a couple of times, didn't pick up any yards, and they end up kicking a 42-yard field goal on a fourth down play in overtime in the Meadowlands today for a 30-27 win for the Patriots as they now fall to 5-2 on the year and the Jets 4-3 on the season. There's a lot of good, a lot of bad, and we'll get to all of it here on the Patriots.com postgame show. And again, want to hear your thoughts early and often here on the show on what you saw today with this loss for the Patriots, which is a little bit of a stunner, to be honest with you, the way in which you see that penalty called. That's not a penalty that you typically see called. And in fact, I don't ever recall, and I'm sure it's been called at some point, but in all my time watching NFL games, I don't ever recall seeing that penalty called. And today, the Patriots were called for it. And so now they find themselves at 5-2 on the year because it was the penalty. It absolutely was the penalty that gave the Jets the life there in the overtime period and allows them to get the win. Again, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured here. If I'm looking at the good in this game, you could take away some big picture things. The Patriots scored 27 points, and 27 points is not a bad thing. But on the day, they were outscored by the Jets 30-27, and I think the bad stuff is what's sticking out for me after this game. Tom Brady, 22 of 46 on the day, sub 50% passing completion rate on the afternoon. Didn't throw for a touchdown. Second time in three games he has not thrown for a TD. He was picked off once. Ends up with a rating of 53.5 on the day. Tom Brady was not good today. Tom Brady missed some guys. It looked like his touch on the football was not very good. Tom Brady did not have a great afternoon. Rob Gronkowski put him in the good category in his return. 8 for 114 on the day for Rob Gronkowski. And he almost made a catch late in the game that probably would have won the game for the Patriots. He tried to make a one-handed grab. No fault of his that he wasn't able to reel it in. But he almost made another play, a spectacular play, that could have possibly won the game for the Patriots. But he finishes with 8 catches, 114 yards on the day, and in his return took a big hit early, showed that maybe there isn't that mental part of worrying about taking hits or worrying about being a physical player. He appeared to be his normal self in the game today. You did see a huge brace that he was wearing on his arm. But for him, it looked like it was a positive return for Rob Gronkowski. The statistics are great for him. So there's the good. Offensively, good was Gronkowski. The bad was Tom Brady. Stephen Ridley on the afternoon, just to give you some of the rundown of how it went offensively. Ridley, 11 carries for 50 yards. Bolden had 8 carries for 36, and LeGarrette Blount had 1 for 4 yards. The Patriots ran the ball 20 times today for 90 yards. They had 22 receptions on the day for 228 yards, and Tom Brady with that threw for 228 on the day. So the good, I'd say Rob Gronkowski was good today offensively. Julian Edelman was good offensively. Aaron Dobson, I thought, looked pretty good. Made a couple of nice catches. And 3 for 34 at the end of the day, 3 catches on 7 targets. But I think a lot of the misses today, I don't know how many of them I would put on the receivers in this game. I didn't see a ton of drops. What I did see was Tom Brady missing guys or being pressured and having to miss guys due to some of the pressure. The Patriots defense, I think this is a huge takeaway from this game, and I'm putting this obviously in the bad category, and that is this does not look like the same defense that we saw that was so improved early in the season. And I think, how could you expect it to look the same? Jerod Mayo is gone. Aqib Talib did not play today. Kyle Arrington, put him in the top of the bad list. He was bad. He was benched in this game. He was replaced by Marquise Cole. So the Patriots' ability to play defense was not all that great today. And I think the injuries are a big part of that. Losing Will Fork, losing Mayo, losing Aqib Talib, having Kyle Arrington play what was likely his worst game of the year, that came at a really bad time. I would say those all led to the New York Jets putting up 383 yards of offense on the day. 383 for the New York Jets. And some of this also leads into the fact that the defense was on the field for a lot of this game. Time of possession. The Jets had the ball for 46 minutes and 13 seconds. 46-13. The Patriots only had the ball for 23 minutes and 40 seconds. So the Patriots defense is obviously taxed by losing a lot of players, and then they were taxed by having to be on the field for what seemed like the entire game. They were on the field all day long. Clearly, the Jets were able to sustain some drives. I don't feel like the Patriots were. I don't feel like the Patriots showed an improvement in their ability to sustain drives, move the football. That's been something that they've struggled with a little bit the last 2 weeks. That was painfully obvious when they went on the road against Cincinnati. It definitely was a problem again last week, but it appears today that it's still an issue for this team in terms of sustaining drives and moving the football down the field and being able to score. The Patriots' touchdowns came early in this game. They came on their first and third drive of the game. They did not score again until late in the third quarter. Late in the third quarter was when they ended up getting a field goal. They later got a field goal, obviously, with just over a couple minutes to go in the game. Less than that, obviously, within the last 2 minutes of the game to end up sending this game to overtime. Steven Gostkowski put him in the good category. A Vinatieri-esque kick, a long 50-plus yarder at the end of the game for the Patriots in order for the Patriots to send this thing to overtime, which was a positive, but then again, the overtime did not go well, and those same problems of not being able to move the football and, I want to say 44-yard kick, not 54, a 44-yard kick at the end of the game for Steven Gostkowski, but it was a beautiful kick in order for the Patriots to send this to overtime today. So I want to get to your thoughts early, often, like I said, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Couple of open lines remaining for you right now to jump on board here on Patriots.com. Let's go to the lines and talk to Al. He's up first. Hi, Al.
Hey, how you doing? Well, a couple things. You know, Patriots still control the division, and I look at it this way. We throw to just a bone, and this is the closest they're going to ever get to a Super Bowl in probably my lifetime. You know, let me ask you something. The new rule pushing on the second level. Now, what exactly is the second level?
You know, I don't have a good explanation of what considered the second level is in the referee's eyes. I believe the second level to be someone like a linebacker. That's, you know, considered second level of the defense. And that's someone that is not lined up on the line of scrimmage to start the play. That's someone that's behind the play. And I think you saw in that play that Jones was, you know, probably two or three steps behind the line when he started that play.
Right. Now, from what I understand, that is a new rule implemented this year.
Yeah, and that's something that in the preseason, you know, referees, what they do is they travel around to different training camps, including this one right here in Foxborough, and they'll end up putting on a little clinic for not only players and explain it to players and coaches, but then they also hold one for media members, and that clinic was actually held this year right here with the media, and they went over this. They talked about this and explained that rule, and from what I've heard already from the people who were in that meeting and did hear the explanation, this is exactly the type of play the referees talked about trying to target and flag.
Right. One other point I want to make. You know, they showed Brady a few times on the sideline. He looked like he was flexing his hands.
I saw that. I saw that, and that's a concern. That happened in the second half. I think he was talking to Josh McDaniels when he was flexing the hand, but it was on his throwing hand, and it looked like it was right on his hand, maybe at the base of his ring finger on his right hand, on his throwing hand, somewhere in that area.
Right, and I thought I had seen him doing it. I think they showed it twice, him flexing, you know, two different times.
Something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, so like I said before, we still control the division, and we throw the Jets a bone, and, you know, this is their Super Bowl. Maybe they'll open up champagne tonight.
Maybe they will.
Nice talking to you.
All right, Al, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. We go to Justin. He's next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going? I guess I just want to start off with Brady. He's had a really rough season. I mean, 7 weeks into the year, what's been a good game for him? I mean, he had the good drive last week, but, I mean, other than that, he's played about, what, 5 minutes of good football this season? I mean, you know, you see Gronk come back this week, and he had a wonderful week. I mean, just great game. But it seems like Brady completely forgot that there's more people on the team than Edelman and Gronkowski. I mean, Dobson had a couple of great catches, didn't drop the ball. Tompkins had a nice catch and run, you know, and that was it. You know, he just didn't get the rest of the team involved. That pick six was ugly. Never should have been thrown. I mean, that was a Sam Bradford kind of throw. What did you think about Chris Jones and Bolano? I thought they played pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they were, you know, in terms of filling in for the guy that they're filling in for up front, Justin, and thank you for the call. I thought they did a good enough job. I don't think they were an issue. I don't think they were someone that you looked at and said, oh, there's a hole there. I thought they did an admirable job stepping up, and that's going to be the thing for this Patriots defense now is the next guy up. You're going to hear it. You'll hear it all year long. They're now thin on that side of the football. And if we're looking at places where the Patriots struggle because they've had a major loss, I would not put the defensive line at the top of the list. I think linebacker is going to be a bigger loss for them in Jerod Mayo. That's the way I would put it so far. But I thought Volano and Jones up front, I thought they were okay. Obviously, at the end of the game, the penalty is a bit of an issue. But in terms of their defensive line play, I thought they were okay. Nick is in North Carolina. He's up next here on Patriots.com. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's going well.
All right. I just want to touch on a few points before I get to my overall conclusion. First off, I think Chandler Jones had a great game, but Hightower just tucked it up on defense, and I didn't want to talk about that penalty there at the end. But do you think that Gronkowski made Brady have the blinders on during that game and just really threw him off?
I think he definitely tended to lock in on him a little bit too often today. And we talked about this before the game today about whether or not the 6 weeks off for Gronkowski was going to be beneficial in the way that Brady was forced to work with the other receivers. I think today showed you that the answer to that may be yes, because I thought he tended to look his way a lot. And clearly part of that is trying to work his way back in. But I'll tell you this, Rob Gronkowski had 17 targets today. The next guy on the list in terms of targets was Edelman and Dobson, who each had 7. So he got 10 more looks and throws his way than anybody else on the team.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Nick. 855-PATS-500, open lines for you here on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. The Patriots lose 30-27 against the New York Jets. I'm coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. And again, the ace ticket hotline for you is 855-PATS-500. Dave is in Connecticut. He's up next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Before I really start, I got to say that these officials were horrible today. You know, I'm not even going to, you know, I heard you make the explanation on that that last call on the field goal. I mean, that to me is definitely a questionable call. I understand. Is that call in lieu of, I know last year or the year before they had a penalty where the players were almost like climbing up, trying to use the guy in front of him as a springboard to jump up higher to block the kick. So this is the new the new penalty for that.
Yes, this is what has been put in place. Yes,
but yeah, okay. I thought that was a horrible. You know, I mean, it's a questionable call. Secondly, I mean, you can go down to the fact there was a couple offsides on the Jets. One where Brady hit Gronkowski on the flat, and Gronkowski looked like he had nothing. That was a touchdown, and they blew the play dead. Now, I always took an offside as there's an unabated to the quarterback where they stop the play so the quarterback doesn't get killed.
Right.
There's also an offside where it's a free play for the offense. I thought the officials blew the whistle twice on offsides that, I mean, could have resulted in, you know, a plus yardage for New England. The Chandler Jones unnecessary roughness. What did he do? He barely pushed the guy on the ground. You see more scrums that they let go after the whistle, okay, and you know they separate the players. I mean, Jones didn't do anything more than give this guy a little nudge. You know, that was a 15-yard penalty right there. That was definitely, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, blame the officials on our loss, but I think this was a very, very poorly officiated game.
No, that's a fair point. I think it was a poorly officiated game. Go ahead. Make your next point.
You had a caller talking about Brady, and I love Brady, and I wouldn't want to have any other quarterback as Brady, but, you know, he hasn't been himself, and I think part of that is the offensive line at times hasn't played up the snuff either. I mean, you know, six games into it, how many sacks have we given up this year? I mean, he's been under duress a lot. Okay, you know, so, yeah, he missed some open receivers today, and I think you really saw that. You know, I saw what you were talking about. He was with his hand. I don't know. Hopefully there's nothing there injury-wise. You know, it was good to see Gronk back, and I do agree with you to a certain extent that, you know, he over-targeted him, you know, a little bit, I would say. But, you know, I mean, Dobson had a good game. You know, I think Edelman had a good game. I think defensively you really can't beat him up. I mean, you know, you take away the pick six that Brady threw, they, you know, and they gave up, what, 22 points? I think, you know, Jones and Vallone played well. You know, I think you're right. We're going to have a problem. I expected a little more from Collins today. I thought, you know, Spikes did a decent job. You know, obviously without Kaleem in there, it's a different defense. But if Kaleem, when he does come back, I think we'll be all right defensively. I mean, you know, the defense once again gave them an opportunity to tie the game up. You know, they made that stand. So, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we're 4-2. Nothing to cry about yet. Big game against Miami. We're going to put this one behind us and get ready for Miami.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. On the officiating to start, I think it was a poorly officiated game. I don't think this game was officiated all that well. The two times you mentioned early on, there was offsides on the New York Jets, and they whistled the play dead. One time, it made zero sense, and it's that Gronkowski play you mentioned. The other time, there was a New York Jets defender in the backfield when the ball was snapped. So that makes sense as to why that whistle was blown. That's the appropriate time to do it, even though I'm not sure Tom Brady was in any sort of danger, but that's the way in which that would be whistled dead. That's the appropriate call. As I said right off the top, I have not yet seen this penalty called for the Patriots. Excuse me, the penalty that was called today against the Patriots for the pushing for Chris Jones, pushing a teammate forward. I haven't seen that, and I've seen a lot of NFL football. I've spent a lot of time watching games this year. I don't know that this has been called at any point yet. I'm curious. I'm waiting for someone to do the research on that. I can't do it at the moment, but I'm not sure that it's been called yet in the NFL this season. You may have just seen it for the first time. By the letter of the rule, that is against the rules. I don't like the rule. I think it's a bad rule. I don't know why it was implemented. I don't know how it saves players in terms of their safety. I don't understand it. I don't get the rule. I don't think it's an appropriate rule to have on the books. But it is the rule. And what they saw on the field, you couldn't see a great angle of it on TV, but what they saw on the field warranted them throwing the flag. And it is a new rule, and it's something that players, coaches have all been talked to about, so there's really nothing you can do there. The Chandler Jones unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, here's my question on that for Chandler Jones. What did you get out of doing it? And I understand they let stuff like that go all the time. And I'm sure if we looked back at the tape of today's game, you could find similar plays on both sides in which something like that goes on after the play. But why do it? Why risk getting the penalty? Why risk putting your team in a bad spot because you're wanting to, what, shove a guy into the ground a little bit harder after the play? It just, there's a risk there that isn't worth it. And I don't think it was worth it there, and he got called for the penalty. But there's no doubt about it in my mind. Today's crew was a bad crew. It was not a well-officiated ball game, and it seemed like there were a lot of flags out on the field today. And I thought the refs didn't have a good afternoon. Did not have a good afternoon in this game. Joe is up next on the Patriots.com postgame show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I'm very concerned about our next few games. We play Miami and Pittsburgh and so forth, and Pittsburgh looks like they're coming back to be a little bit of a perennial power. At least today they did. They're looking like it. And I'm really concerned about pass defense. Mayo could cover these tight ends, but Hightower is just too slow. And I know that the Jets beat us really by their running game, but it just seemed that Hightower could not keep up with a lot of their in the pass defense. I don't know if Dane Fletcher suited up today, but I just think that he would be better or faster than our defense. I'm very concerned going forward with the schedule that we do have. Last week, callers were saying that this is kind of our soft end or soft part of the schedule, and then we're 0-1. God only knows what's going to happen next week unless we tighten up our defense.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to be concerned about. And I think it's not just that. I think it's the entire defense you now have to be concerned about after watching today and giving up close to 400 yards to a team that I don't know how you feel about them, Joe, but I don't have a ton of respect for the New York Jets offense.
I don't either. I mean, that's my biggest thing. And, you know, those two rookies, the defensive tackles, I thought they played okay for defensive rookies, you know, and but hey, we were without Wolfork, and it was mentioned plenty of times in the, during the game of the defensive losses, but we're going to have to make some major adjustments. And I know I'm picking on Hightower, but it just seemed like in pass coverage he was getting beat all day long.
Well, I think that's kind of been the story on Dont'a Hightower in his entire brief NFL career. He has trouble in the passing game. He has trouble defending the pass, and I think it's going to be something you pay a lot more attention to because you can't avoid it now. You can't avoid it. He's right in the middle of that defense. He's a guy who's going to be a so-called leader, a guy who's going to be providing the communication, and I think people are going to pay more attention to what Dont'a Hightower is doing now without Jerod Mayo on the field. Dont'a Hightower has consistently had trouble covering guys. That's the story on him. Joe, I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. DeAndre is up next. Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Doing well.
All right. I'm very disappointed in the game today, you know, but our hypothetical right here is just a point to be made. If you look at it in of last week's game, say if we lost the game to the Saints, 27-30, and we won this game 27-30. I mean, will we still hang our heads? It would be the same situation. I mean, both games were won, were decided by 3 points. And then next week we're looking to go into Miami. Then you have Pittsburgh at this point pending a win tonight. You know, they're 1-4, Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you know, like Brady say, you know, you'd rather get the losses out the way early in the season and kind of gel towards the end of the season, you know, and December and January, you know, especially with, you know, we've been hit with the injuries, you know, on the offensive side and defensive side, more or less. But I'm kind of optimistic right now. You know, we're not quite halfway through the season yet, but hey, we're 5-2 and we're leading our division. That's all, Mark. What you think?
All right, DeAndre, you know what? I appreciate your positive outlook on that. I don't know that a lot of Patriots fans are feeling all that optimistic today, because I think today was a little bit of a step back for this team. And I think a big part of that is due to the injuries. And maybe it's going to take some time in order for the team to figure out how they're going to adjust. It's only one game. That's one of the positives I would think. If you're looking at this team, it's been one game since they lost Jerod Mayo. It's been the first game that they were out without Aqib Talib, and we still don't know how long he'll be out. So maybe he makes a return. Kyle Arrington picked a really bad week to have his worst game of the year. And I don't think that's going to stay the same. I think Kyle Arrington is going to turn things around. I don't think he's going to stay that same guy. In fact, I thought Kyle Arrington was one of the best defensive players on the team in the first 2-3 weeks of the season. So I think there's plenty of time for him to turn things around, for Aqib Talib to get healthy, and for the Patriots to figure out how they are going to truly adjust and be somewhat representative of what they were in terms of their improved defense early on in the year. Because today I don't think they were that defense. I think that was extremely disappointing to see, and I think it's even more disappointing when the Patriots lose the game at the end the way they did. But offensively, there's a lot of blame to go there. Tom Brady didn't have a good game today, and the offense still struggles to consistently move the football, which I think is going to be something that we're talking about for a little bit longer here, and I'm hoping that the Patriots figure out a way to get past those problems. But Tom Brady, 2 out of the last 3 games, having not thrown for the touchdown. This is the first time in Tom Brady's career that he has had 3 games in a season in which he completed less than 50% of his passes. Tom Brady has not been the same Tom Brady this year, and I think not all of it is on him. Some of that is on his receivers, for sure, and you know, working in a lot of new guys, working in rookies. But if you look specifically at today's game, I didn't feel much of this was on his receivers. I felt like a lot of this was on Tom Brady. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Open lines for you right now as we talk about this game. And if you want to send in your thoughts, do it at webradio@patriots.com. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. But again, that number is 855-PATS-500. Let's go back to the phones. And again, there's open lines if you want to give your thoughts. Russ is up next. Hi, Russ.
Hi, this is Russ from Pompano Beach, Florida.
How you doing?
Good. I was watching a game today, and I don't know, very discouraging on this referee's call. Everybody at the bar was, like, mystified as to the penalty. Even Jet fans were mystified at the penalty. I don't know. You know, some people are saying the game's fixed. I would hate to think that because I'm a strong football fan, you know, but my God, I didn't see any penalty there. I'm sorry.
Well,
what's your thoughts?
I'll tell you this, Russ. This is a new rule in the NFL. It's a new rule this season. This is the first time Mike Pereira, who is a former head of referees for the NFL, has confirmed. This is the first time this season the rule has been called, and this is the first time this penalty has been called. But the rule, Rule 913 of the NFL rulebook, Rule 913 states that players cannot push their teammates on the line of scrimmage into an offensive formation as Chris Jones did for the Patriots. Now, since the season has started, according to Mike Pereira of Fox Sports, and again, he's the former vice president of officiating in the NFL, there have been examples of this that the NFL has found on tape in games this season in which it was not called and it should have been called. And so this has been brought to the attention of the referees in the NFL in recent weeks, saying, hey, you missed this call, you missed this specific play, you've got to look at this rule again because this is a new rule and you've got to know when to call it and you've missed it. And I think that reiteration on the part of the NFL, Russ, has probably led to this rule getting called today for the very first time in NFL history, and that is the pushing of your teammate into an offensive formation. It happened in this game. By the letter of the rule, it's correct, but it's completely new, and I think it was completely unexpected when they did, in fact, call it.
Well, I just think that at that stage of the game, to make a ticky-tack call and decide the fate of the game is not the referee's job, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it does feel ticky-tack.
If it was a flagrant foul and everybody's like, oh, yeah, he did that, but nobody could see the penalty on the TV screens where I was. And, it, you know, it just really, I don't know. It's I think just a terrible call.
Yeah, well, Russ, I don't think the game is fixed, so I don't think that's what's going on. So don't buy into that stuff. Russ, I appreciate you checking in all the way in from Florida today as we talk about this game. And I'll tell you what, we've already received an email on this, and I got to get to it from Lucas in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Lucas writes, where was the camera angle that captures the defense's backside? You can't see the play clearly from the side angles that that CBS kept showing. I'm not convinced Jones wasn't moving behind his teammate to get to the other side. Where's my camera shot? I'm blaming this on the refs and the TV. That's how mad I am. Well, I don't think that's fair. And what if that angle does show that he was, in fact, pushing? The coach's tape will be released later this week for those of you like myself that have signed up for an NFL Rewind account at NFL.com/rewind. We will be looking at that on Wednesday when that all-22 camera angle is posted to the web. I'm curious, too, because I would have loved to have seen a camera angle from the defense, the back of the defense from the goal line, and being able to see what happened on that play, because the angle you saw on TV didn't show you a lot. I mean, it looked like he was making that shift and pushing, and if you saw the play, you could say, well, it looks like he may have been pushed, but it wasn't definitive. All I know is that what was seen on the field was definitive in the eyes of the referee, and let's be honest, that's all that really matters. That's all that really matters in this case. And I'm curious to see the other angle anyway, though. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I think we'd all like to see the other angle and see for sure what it was in terms of a push and make a definitive call as to whether or not it was a bad call. Will Svitek got pushed through the line there, and you want to know, was he truly pushed? You saw him pop through the other side of the line. Was he pushed, or did he just make it through on his own? And there's nothing you or I can see on that video that you can say it absolutely is a bad call. He didn't push him, because I don't think you can tell. I don't think you can tell. I think we want to see that other angle for a reason. It is the first time, as I said, this has been called in the NFL, according to Mike Pereira, former vice president of officiating in the NFL. And this is something, Rule 913, that we should all get used to, because it's the first time, but it probably won't be the last time. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. That's the number. We're going to get to more of your calls and more of your emails coming up on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL.
The Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit GotToGetFios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. I'm Mark Bertrand, joining you on Patriots.com as we talk about the Patriots loss that moves them to 5-2 on the year, 2-2 on the road this season. That's what the Patriots are. They've split on the road in those four road games, and that's where they stand today after their loss to the New York Jets, who are now 4-3 on the year, 3-1 at home. If you're looking at the AFC East at this point, the Patriots are still in control at 5-2, and the Jets behind them at 4-3, both the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. I made a mistake there. They're not both 3-3. Miami is now 3-3. Buffalo is 3-4. Miami has already had their bye week. Miami today losing to Buffalo late. So Buffalo gets a win, And I'm sure both of those teams, watching the end of this game or keeping an eye on the score, were rooting for the New York Jets to come back and, I shouldn't say come back, I should say hold on and get a win against the Patriots, which they did, which makes things a little bit closer in the AFC East after 7 weeks of NFL football. Patriots at 5-2. It's still plenty to good, still plenty to feel good about at this point. Still one of the better records in the NFL. So it's not full panic mode yet. And you did have a little bit of a strange ending today with penalties being called that have never been called in the history of the NFL. But is there concern in your mind? Is there concern about where this team is headed? Obviously, the defense took a step back today. Are you concerned about Tom Brady not looking like the quarterback that you've become used to seeing every single weekend? Does Tom Brady, does he concern you? How do you feel about this offense now that Rob Gronkowski is back? Do you feel like it has changed things? Do you feel like it was changed today? 17 targets for Rob Gronkowski on day one, back with the team. I thought there was a effort on Tom Brady's part to really get the ball to Rob Gronkowski. And I'm not so sure that's a great thing. I'm not so sure I want 17 targets every single game for Rob Gronkowski. I would have liked to have seen the Patriots make an effort, and specifically Tom Brady make an effort, to spread the ball around a little bit more than he did. Kenbrell Tompkins today, after being the hero last week, was really a non-factor today. You didn't notice him at all. He made two catches, 16 yards, targeted five times. Austin Colley was targeted five times today. It felt like he was just not a part of things. It felt like it was all Gronk, Edelman, Dobson. And even with it being all Gronk, Edelman, Dobson, Gronk got 10 more targets than those guys. Those guys each got 7 apiece. Gronk ended up with 17. I thought Edelman had a good day. He was very efficient. 5 catches on 7 targets, 44 yards receiving. Thought he had a good afternoon, but it felt like there was too much Gronk today. And I love the fact that he's back. There's plenty to be excited about. But we talked in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social about, did Tom Brady achieve something by not having his security blanket and Rob Gronkowski out on the field? I think he did, and I think he may have reversed that today. Patriots lose 30-27. More of your thoughts. A couple of open phone lines remained at 855-PATS-500. We go back to the phones to get more of your thoughts. We're going to hear from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick coming up. Also get some sounds of the Patriots locker room and see if anyone had anything interesting to say in the locker room after this game. We'll get to that coming up here on the Patriots postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand, coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And that number again for you is 855-PATS-500. That's where Lucas gets on board. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
I just want to shed some light on this rule. And if you're a Pats fan, I'm pretty sure you're angry. This will just blow your mind. I think this proves that the refs blew that call. And I'm reading this right off of NFL.com, their website. It says, Team B players not on the line of scrimmage at the snap cannot push players on the line of scrimmage into the offensive formation. Penalty for unnecessary roughness, loss of 15 yards. I have seen that play a billion times now because I'm really angry. And both those players were on the line of scrimmage. Jones was on the line of scrimmage at the snap. He moved around and he pushed behind on Svitek. This is not a penalty according to the NFL.com website. So I'll leave you guys to your thoughts and I'll hang up.
I'm going to disagree with you there because I think he was about a step back off the line of scrimmage. I think he was at the start of that play. And you're going to see the play plenty of times. You're going to see this thing over and over and over again. And I think if you watch, he was about a solid, I want to say 2 to 3 feet behind where his teammates were lined up on the line of scrimmage. So he was about a half a person back, if that makes any sense. He was not all the way up on the line of scrimmage. He lined up about 2 to 3 feet further back off the line of scrimmage than the guy to his right, Will Svitek, who was up front, and the guy that he ended up pushing through. And the thing that's really damning on the video, and as I said, you can't tell for sure without the angle from the other end, but you can see Chris Jones's hand, his right hand, go right onto the backside of Svitek up on that line and push right up on his back, right on his butt. He's pushing him with his right hand, which the degree of which it even helped is debatable. I think it was designed that way, which is kind of ridiculous considering these refs explain these rules to every NFL team during training camp, which wasn't that long ago. So I'm not so – I don't believe you. I don't agree with that assessment that he was not on the line of scrimmage. That he was on the line of scrimmage because he was not. If you look, he is further back. He is not up on the line shoulder to shoulder with Svitek to his right. He's lined up a little bit back, as was Dante Hightower. So don't get fooled by where Dante Hightower was lined up on that play. Hightower was not on the line of scrimmage either. He was even with Hightower on the play. They were shoulder to shoulder. He was not shoulder to shoulder with Svitek, who was up on the line of scrimmage. He wasn't up there. So, according to the NFL rule book and Rule 913, I don't believe he was up there. I disagree with that review of the tape. Melvin's up next on Patriots.com. Hi, Melvin.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
How you doing?
I'm fine. Like you said, globally, I'm not concerned at all. You're 5-2. You got a pretty good record heading into, you know, these next couple weeks. So I'm not really concerned about that. A couple of points that I have seen throughout these last couple of weeks is, of course, the offensive line, which has been, you know, beaten to death. But really, like, I don't understand why the Patriots are constantly giving up these long, you know, these 3rd and 20s. Now, you've seen that very important, which probably could have really changed the game in Cincinnati. You gave up, okay, the perfect pass from Breeze. That was, I mean, I don't know if it's a play calling or just a, you know, it's kind of a coincidence, but you gave it up regardless with a very pivotal part of the game. And then I'm pretty sure I saw another, like, constantly with another, you know, long passes here. I think 20-plus. I want to say it was third and long again with something that, you know, the Patriots should have been able to get out of and they weren't able to. So globally, if I'm looking at these last three games, which offensively, Brady's been bad along with – Brady's been pretty, you know, mediocre along with the offensive line who has played bad in pass protection. And then these long passes that the Patriots are giving up, even with Tlaib being there sometimes. So I'm just more concerned about that, more the offensive line and the long passes that we've been giving up. So that's the only thing I got to say, and you can comment on that. I missed you earlier, so I apologize if you talked about it some, but that's really what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I think that is a concern. Melvin, thanks for the call. The yardage in the 383 led up by the Patriots today to the New York Jets and Geno Smith, who was – okay, I mean, he had a – don't forget here, if we're looking at the score, Patriots did score 27 points on the day. And with that, part of that came on defense. So we don't want to leave that out. Geno Smith had a really bad decision early on a pick six that was run back, and so you give the Patriots defense some credit on that. I thought there were some bright spots. I thought Alphonso Dennard had a couple of nice breakups on the day. But the passing yards that you're letting up – in this game to a player such as Geno Smith, who I think is going to be pretty good in the league, but he threw for 233, which wasn't great, but it was a decent afternoon for him. 17 of 33 for him. I mean, it's not overall. Overall, okay. Geno Smith, 17 of 33, 233, touchdown, pick, 71.9 rating. For Geno Smith, that's all right. Passing yards on the day, again, for him was 233. Chris Ivory, let's not leave this part of it out, and we haven't really talked about it. Chris Ivory ran for over 100 yards in this game. 34 rushes, 104 yards. The ground and pound of the New York Jets in this game produced 177 yards on the ground. It's a concern. That's a concern. And as much as I think Joe Valano and Chris Jones did an okay job up front for the Patriots – in terms of trying to fill in and be somewhat close to what the, I guess, what you have with Vince Wilfork, they're still not the same. And I think that bears itself out in the numbers, giving up a lot of yards today. And it reminds me of the Patriots' defenses within the last few years. going back to, 2010 or teams like that where they just let up a ton of yards. It seems like when you take the best players out, you might be headed back to what you were. Not surprising. Not a huge surprise to me that they let up a lot of yards, but it's a concern. It's a concern. It is the first game that they're dealing with all of these losses. And again, Kyle Arrington, I hope he doesn't have the same type of day that he had today going forward. You hope Aqib Talib gets healthy. That will provide some help. But I think this is a major concern as we assess whether or not the Patriots can survive without Will Fork, without Mayo, however long they're without Talib. And let's cross our fingers that there are no more injuries on that side of the ball for the Pats. The number for you is 855-PATS-500. And we'll go back to these phones. Chris is in Arizona tonight. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Doing well.
Hey, just a couple of quick thoughts here. Just a couple of complaints with the game. Really with Dante Hightower, I'm really, really tired of watching the way this man plays football. If he's up on the line with a run, he waits for the guy to break through the line, burst through, and then he has to make like a life-saving tackle. No pressure, like no reading the play and read and react. You know what I'm saying? Always in coverage, totally getting just annihilated by anybody that he tries to cover. And I was excited when they drafted him because of the move that Belichick made, trading up, because he never does. And that's another thought that I want to get to. Just the fact that they, made the effort to actually trade up and draft somebody, and obviously coming from Alabama, big thoughts for him, high hopes and what have you. But I'm really tired of watching him get just absolutely crisped by everybody that he tries to cover. He makes a tackle only because the guy catches the pass and gets by him, or we get fortunate and the guy, drops the ball. That's what I need to say about that. So I think Belichick needs to do something about that position, either through the draft or trade. And, talking about trades, it seems like so helpless and hopeless because he doesn't do it, and it really frustrates me because his draft picks are just absolutely horrendous with his third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth round picks that he loves so much because of the value and everything like that. He never does anything with those picks. So why is he so afraid to let go of some of those picks to bring in a Josh Gordon or somebody on the defensive side of the ball? And I don't know necessarily who's available and what kind of deal can be struck, and I'm not saying it's always easy. But, I don't understand holding him with a clenched fist if you never even do anything with him to begin with. Beckett, for instance, on our team holding up a roster spot, never, ever, ever sees the field. Why the hell are you keeping him on the team instead of opening up that spot for somebody who can contribute?
Well, Chris, I think it's a discussion for another day if we're going to pick apart draft picks and how drafts have gone and what it's produced. In terms of this game today, you look at the team. This is not the defense you have seen this season. I think we can all admit that. This team that you saw on the field today did not play like they have played throughout the course of the year. They took a huge step back today. So if we're going to get on this team, I prefer we do it for the immediate reasons and the immediate changes, which are the guys who are no longer out on the field playing. Mayo, Will Fork, Talib being the big three. Don't you think things would look a little bit different this week if Aqib Talib and Jerod Mayo are out on the field? Did you see last week's game? And in terms of trades, they don't happen as often in the NFL as they do in other sports. It's not a sport that lends itself to a lot of trades. So I'm not sure that the reason why the Patriots haven't made a trade is because they love mid-round picks. I think they do like mid-round picks. I think they do like the value of them, but I don't think they're married to them and that they can't let them go in a trade. They've traded those picks before to get quality players. They've traded picks before. They may end up doing it again, but that's not something that happens every day in the league. Eden's in New Jersey. Hi, Eden.
Hello?
Hey, Eden.
Hi.
How you doing?
My concern was actually with the start of overtime, that first drive. I mean, obviously, I'm not a coach or anything. I'm not that gifted with play calling, but I didn't see why they couldn't run the ball more. I mean, obviously the Jets defense is very good. They're second ranked, but towards the end we were running pretty well. I mean, we scored two touchdowns running the ball. So I just wanted them to run a little more than just pass three times and go three and out.
I'm sorry, what was your last point there?
I said I just wanted to see more run plays at that overtime drive, that first drive.
Okay.
I feel like we could have ran the ball more, a little more effectively.
Gotcha. I didn't know specifically if you were talking about a drive or the entire game. On that final drive in the overtime for the Patriots, You wanted to see more run plays there. I can feel you, because what you had was no run attempts whatsoever. First and 10 from the Patriots 22 when they started that drive. It was a short left attempt, pass completed to Gronkowski on first down. That was the big 16-yard gain, got him to the 38. And then it was three passes, incomplete first to Dobson, then to Gronkowski, then to Edelman. Funny how I mentioned the day was Gronk, Edelman, Dobson. That it felt like those were the three guys involved on offense consistently, and Gronkowski obviously being the chief among them. Three straight passes, first, second, third down, incomplete punt. So four plays from scrimmage for Tom Brady in the overtime. And they had the ball first. They had the ball first. They couldn't even get it to the point where they could kick a field goal and continue to play, but at least get a field goal. Didn't happen for the Patriots today. I think the play calling the last few weeks has been questionable at times. I don't think Josh McDaniels is a bad offensive coordinator. I actually like Josh McDaniels a lot. But I think he's had some struggles this year. I think they have not been as sharp as maybe they could be. Andy's in Atlanta. Hi, Andy.
How you doing?
Hey, Andy.
Hey, I wanted to touch base. I think that this game is indicative of Ben. Obviously, the injuries have mounted, and that throws another X factor into it. But if you keep these games close, then, you know, it's going to be a 50-50 shot as to whether you win or you lose. And also then things like the referee making bad calls and that type of stuff comes into play. And that, to me, was what was really frustrating, was that in the third quarter we just – you know, didn't do much, and we were on our heels and so forth, and throw that into the mix along with the injuries on the defense. And, you know, Arrington having a bad game, interesting that, you know, Tlaib was out and Arrington had a bad game. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of dominoes that go into play. But my concern heading into the next few games is if you keep these things close, it's anybody's game. And we've been lucky to pull some of them out at the beginning of the year, but a record at 5-2 could easily be 2-5. And so that's my concern. Diehard Pats fan down here in Atlanta. Fly my flag on the car all the time. So I let the folks know down here that we got Pat spirit. But I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
All right, Andy. Thanks for the call. I mean, they are 5-2. You could definitely make the case that they could have been in some worse spots and have a different record. But, you know, if that's how you're looking at it, it doesn't really matter because they are 5-2. And so at the end of the day, they're in a good spot. And the Patriots are the type of team that when they are up against similar opponents, they can beat them based on good game planning, good use of the clock, things of that nature, the simple things, good communication into the huddle. The Patriots never have those kind of screw-ups. But you look at this game today, they just weren't good. They all around, Patriots did not have a very good day today. That's how it feels. Sean's in L.A. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Mark, thanks for taking my call. It seems to me that no one really is talking about Josh McDaniels in this, and I'm glad that you brought it up. And I think the run game was working, and I just don't understand why. Because what I think the CBS announcers are saying is that when the play calling is actually happening, it's a decision that the coaches and Brady are, you know, are deciding. And it just seems to me that the ball was forced too much to Gronkowski, and I think the Jets caught up on that. That's why I think you noticed in the second half, right at the start, they were rushing Brady, and if they were looking at the Bengals at the Bengals game, they saw that you rushed to Brady. That's pretty much it. So I honestly think I was upset, but now, you know, we're not in overtime losing the game if Brady was consistent and not overthrowing Gronk and getting other players into it, because I don't know if you were there at the game. There was no mention of Kembrell Tompkins. Like I said, it was only Dobson, Edelman, and Gronk. So I don't know if you want to kind of put your input on that. But, yeah, that's just what I take from it. Like, we're 5-2, so I'm positive that we'll get better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much better they can get with some of the holes that they have on defense. I'm curious to know if this is going to be something the Patriots deal with in terms of letting up a lot of chunk yards throughout the course of the year. And that's even if they do get healthy with Aqib Talib back. That's even if they do get better performances out of Kyle Arrington. That's all a fair question at this point. we've been talking about the way in which this game ended, and that obviously involves what you will now never forget, which is NFL Rule 913. 913. That's the rule. Bill Belichick talked about that rule after the game, and we're going to hear from him coming up on the Patriots post-game show presented by Xbox One, which is the official console of the NFL. Bill Belichick is on the way. We'll hear from him and what he had to say about this rule. That's next.
The Patriots post-game show with Mark Bertrand.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Getting your thoughts on this game at 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Wide open phone lines for you right now as we approach the 6 o'clock hour here on the program. 855-PATS-500. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Getting those right now, and we're actually going to read a bunch of those emails. So keep sending them. We're going to get to them. We will read them. No worry. We're going to get those emails in and get them on the air, and also continue to give us your thoughts on the phone lines at 855-PATS-500. During the course of the break, I had the time to go and look up how the official rule reads. Rule 9, Section 1, Article 3, Defensive Team Formation. And part of that rule is, as it reads right here, Team B players, meaning the defensive team, on a kicking attempt. Players cannot push teammates on the line of scrimmage into the offensive formation, which means it makes no reference whatsoever to the pushing player and where that player lines up. And we talked about this, and I had disagreed that he was on the line of scrimmage. It doesn't matter if he was on the line of scrimmage. It doesn't matter where you are. It makes no mention whatsoever in the official NFL rulebook, which I am looking at right this minute. It does not matter where the pushing player lined up to start the play, where he started pushing from, does not matter. Has no impact on the play. And that has been backed up by Mike Pereira, again, who is an expert on NFL rules and NFL officiating, and he has written an article for Fox Sports within the hour that says the exact same thing. This rule makes no mention of where the player lines up. I say this because Bill Belichick made a reference to this after he... when he went to the podium today after the game, when he talked about this play and what he disagreed with about the call, Bill Belichick went to the podium at MetLife Stadium after a 30-27 win for the New York Jets. And here's what the head coach of the Patriots had to say.
All right, well, obviously a disappointing loss for us today. I just didn't feel like we did anything well enough the way we need to do it. Coaching, playing, offense, defense, special teams, you name it. We just made too many mistakes, and we just didn't play and coach well enough today. So just got to do a better job. I know we're better than that, but we weren't today.
On the field goal penalty, how did the referees call this
game? They call us for pushing.
Did he say, was it during or was it before?
Before.
Before the field goal?
It was on the field goal, it was for pushing. We weren't on the second level when we pushed them, no.
Coach, what do you think led to the struggle from third down today?
just didn't perform well enough. Like I said, we got to coach better. We got to play better. We just got to do a better job. We just weren't consistent.
How did you think Garoppolo
for his
first
game? I don't clue at the film.
What is the basis for making that penalty call? It was hard for us to understand from where we were. You said it was pushing, but
you know,
it's there.
Yeah, you can't push him to second level. I didn't think we did that.
Phil, I believe that's the first time that penalty has been called. Does that make it more bothersome or frustrating that it was called in that scenario?
Change
anything in the second half,
the
way they approached Brady?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they mixed it up, but I think it was kind of the same, pretty much the same mix. We saw a lot of dime on third down. I have to look at the film and see if there's anything that I've missed, but it looked like it was, that they keep, they mixed it in the first half. Looks like they mixed it in the second half too, pretty much the same calls.
Geno Smith look like a better quarterback than the one you saw in week 2?
I played well enough to win today, so give credit for that.
What did you see from Rob Gronkowski
today? I thought we went out there, we all competed, we just didn't make enough plays, just didn't play well enough, didn't coach well enough. So, I think we'll have to take a look at the film and see how everybody did. I couldn't evaluate all those guys out there today.
You go 1-for-11 on third downs, particularly
thoughts on why they had so much trouble. Yeah, we just didn't do well enough. Obviously, got to coach better, got to play better, just got to make some of those plays. Through that 3 times.
You mentioned that you didn't think it was second level. Is that a reviewable penalty?
There's no reviews in overtime.
Is that a new rule? Did they change that?
Yes. Yeah. They eliminated the pushing on a second level.
And that's it. That was Bill Belichick and what he had to say after the loss. And you heard Bill Belichick reference repeatedly second level. Nowhere in that rule. Rule 9 in the NFL rule book, which again you can find for yourself on the internet, is Article 3. Rule 9, Section 1, Article 3, Part B-2. Team B players cannot push teammates on the line of scrimmage into the offensive formation. And with that, there is no mention of there being the push from the second level. The rule makes no mention of where that push comes from. The NFL rule book does not distinguish between a guy on the line of scrimmage, the first level of the defense, versus the second level. There's just no distinction made between the two. So by the letter of the law in the NFL, there's nothing wrong with that call, which is unfortunate. So the rule itself, I guess you could say it was called correctly. Here is what I think my issue with the rule. Not so much the rule. I hate the rule. I think it's a bad rule. I think we all probably agree on that. It's a bad rule. But the fact that the enforcement of it is so selective, this is the first time all season that this has been called. How many times does this happen in the NFL in a given week? I imagine it happens a lot more than what we just saw today. In fact, I wonder if it happened in this game, and I'm going to make an effort to go back and find out for myself. I want to know if this happened in this very game prior to that play. And if it did, why it wasn't called then? Because then you certainly wouldn't have seen it happen in overtime. The timing and the choice of when to enforce that rule seems utterly ridiculous and, for some people, downright suspicious. Now, I don't think that's what it is. I don't think there's any kind of seedy elements at play here with why it was called when it was. But I think the enforcement of it is kind of bogus. What a terrible time in which to call that penalty. And let's be honest, if it is the penalty, yeah, there was a bit of a push. But did that really affect the play? Do you think that affected the play? Was it enough of a push to say, I want to throw this flag and decide the game based on this penalty? Those are the kinds of things you fault a referee for, because no matter what the rules are, no matter what sport it is, no matter what the rule says, there's discretion involved, like the enforcement of any rule. There is discretion involved in all refereeing of sports. Some sports have more discretion than others. Football is one that's pretty much cut and dry in terms of the, you know, judgment calls with referees, but the choice of when to enforce that call, that thing's up for debate. How many times do you see on an NFL field holding? I mean, there's holding on every single play. But wouldn't you say the enforcement, there's discretion involved, where the referee looks at the play and says, how bad of a hold was that? Is that a hold that affected the play, right? And on the plays where a hold does have a major impact, usually it gets called. And I'm surprised that's not what happened here. That's the part of it that I think kind of irks me, is that they chose to enforce that penalty, which has never been enforced in the history of the NFL. They chose to enforce it on a play where it did not affect the outcome of the play. It was not exactly something that changed the dynamic of the play or helped the Patriots in any way. That's the play they chose to enforce it on. And I wonder if it's because, again, this from Mike Pereira, the NFL officiating heads have made it a point to their referees to look for that. That's a question I have. That's really a question I have, is that did something happen in the last few weeks in which a referee was told, hey, you missed it here, and this is something you got to look for? And were they looking for it on that play? That's kind of something I wonder. We got an email here from Daquan, who writes, I have satellite and I can rewind on this field goal play. And if you look at the ref on the right side behind the Pats lineman, he starts to reach for his flag before the play starts. And if you look at the ref next to him, he doesn't even reach near his waist. Now, how in the world did he throw the flag not even 4 seconds after the play started? If you don't believe me, rewind it. Now, they said this was the first time it's been called in 6 games in the NFL, well, 7 weeks now, and it happens to us in overtime. Every other penalty has been called this season, but now we get the one that hasn't been called, and it's an OT. Wow, I'm not buying it. By far, the worst call. Here's my question, Daquan. Did it happen earlier in the game, the ref saw it, knew that he missed it, and said, I can't let them get away with it again here in the overtime? And is that why, as soon as he saw the same type of play called in which Chris Jones was going to get that push, and the way in which they lined up, he knew the push was coming, he already had his hand on the flag because he knew the push was going to happen? Was he specifically looking for that push? Now, I think that's an important question. And why did they choose the overtime to enforce that penalty? Because they had missed it earlier in the game? Those are the things that I find far more plausible than any of the conspiracy theories that this game was somehow fixed. I don't think that's the case. And by the letter of the rules in the NFL, the referee does have the right to call it, but that doesn't make him right, if you understand what I'm saying. Use some discretion on that play. And I don't think the referees used any discretion whatsoever. As promised, Tom Brady hit the podium after the game. Tom Brady, first time in his career he's been sub-50% passing 3 times in a season. Today was the 3rd time. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 2 of the last 3 weeks. That started in Cincinnati. Tom Brady, I think, is under the microscope right now for his play this season with the Patriots. A lot of it has to do with new receivers, rookie receivers, but I don't know. I don't feel great about where Tom Brady's at as we approach the midway point of the season. 22 of 46 today, 228 passing, no TDs, 1 pick, sacked 4 times, rating of 53.5 on the day for Thomas Brady. And the quarterback of the New England Patriots went to the podium at the MetLife Stadium after this game, and this is what he had to say.
There.
Third down. One for 11, I think it was. Third down. What was going on there? And a lot of times during the course of the game, you start to think things up.
Yeah, we just, we haven't been good on third down all year. And I think, obviously that's, a big problem. You can't stay on the field and help our defense out. So we have to be better in all areas. Certainly we have to be better on third down in the red area. But, there's no excuses. We didn't play well. I got to do a better job out there. And that's what I need to do.
Did you see anything on the pick in the third quarter in terms of the way they attacked you? Did you have some trouble on offense?
They're a good defense. They're a good defense. They put pressure on you in all areas. We didn't do anything offensively to slow them down at all. It started off poorly, and we had a great opportunity to take control of the game. We didn't. Fought our way back. Had plenty of chances. We just didn't get it done.
What were your thoughts on Robbins for game day?
He played his butt off. So, all the guys played hard, and there was a lot of effort. We played hard. We played for as long as we could. We just didn't make enough plays. And this team, this defense is a good defense, and they're well coached. There's no easy plays out there. You got to earn them, and we just didn't do enough to earn them today.
Thomas, the frustrating part. Not making the plays, the executions, how close you were on so many plays to big plays.
Yeah, we're close, and we're close a lot. We just got to start making them, from all of us. The balls have to be better thrown. Everyone has to, look at themselves and do a better job, because what we're doing right now isn't good enough. You come out of a day like this where we're, one conversion on third down, and, we have to do a better job all the way around. Everybody on offense has to look at what they need to do better and certainly make it a point of emphasis, and it's got to be a strength for us going forward. It can't be, 1-12. You're not going to win many football games being 1-12.
Tommy, you guys offensively have struggled in the third quarter over the course of the entire season. Are there any sort of commonalities there that you can point to at this point here?
I think it's really poor execution, and we had a great opportunity to take control of the game, and we didn't, and we fought hard. We just didn't do what it takes to beat a good defense.
What happened on the interception? He had to cut the route. Did you not see him, or what did you think
was going to happen? Yeah, Gronk had a crossing route, and he flashed open. I threw it, and the guy made a good play. And it's a ball I shouldn't throw. So he intercepted. You can't do that. Throw interceptions for touchdowns. That's one way to get you beat.
Is it fair to say, though, you have to give some credit that guy made the play on it.
He made a good play. He undercuts inside routes, and Gronk was running across the field, and I'm sure they were coached that way, and he really, he made the play, and that's what it takes. It takes good plays, and he made it, and we had some opportunities where, we have chances to make plays, and, we got guys that, we got to throw it, we got to catch it, we got to run with it, and that's what our job on offense is to do, and the only way to score points is to do it consistently. But we're just not doing it consistently enough to march the ball down the field and put it in the end zone. I don't know. I didn't really see it. So I don't know what the call is. I don't even know what they called. I just saw the flag. So
what does it say about Chris? I mean, he sat in there, he listened to everybody's questions, he took responsibility for violating the rule, and tried to say it was some mistake. What does it sort of say about a young guy?
Oh, he's playing hard. That whole defense has really rallied. They lost, some veteran leadership, but they come in here and they fight. And they were on the field a lot early on and made some plays there for us, made some plays for the team. All those guys, the young guys who have been in there, Chris, Joe, Logan made some plays. Michael Buchanan's making plays. So, I think offensively we need to do a better job helping the defense out. We got to convert more on third down. We got to take advantage of the opportunities that we have, and we're plenty capable. It's not that we don't do it. We just don't do it on a consistent basis. So I mean, it's a team sport, and as a team, we're just not, you know, we're not there yet. You know, we got a lot of football to play. Hopefully, we can correct it.
And the last drive of regulation, did you think Gronk was coming down with that ball, and was, did Russ have anything to do with it, you think, that he didn't?
No, he ran a great route, you know, and we gave him an opportunity, and, you know, he probably makes that 99 out of 100, but you know, it was just one of those days where it didn't happen for us, and, you know, we still have plenty of other opportunities after that. It really shouldn't have come down to that play if we'd have been executing better over the course of the day, but, you know, they put pressure on you. The coverage is going to be tight, and they're going to be tight throws, and, you know, we got to throw. We got to make the plays when we're there.
Could you see things open up a little bit more because he was on the field, Tom?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's one of the best players in the NFL, so, you know, you saw what he does today. It's his first game back, and, you know, all of us have to do a better job. I mean, no one's obviously doing it perfect out there. There's a lot of room for improvement, and you know, we got to get back to work. We got a tough division opponent coming in that's playing well, and you know, we got to try to go beat them.
Final question, guys. Some of the spots we're not executing.
You know, we're working hard in practice, and we're trying to get the job done. It's just, you know, for one reason or another, it's just we're not quite there yet. We're not clicking how we need to on third down in the red area, and we've been inconsistent, certainly in the passing game. And, you know, we got to try to figure out, you know, how to get better and work hard at it so we can get better. Thank you.
Well, Tom Brady doesn't sound happy after losing, and he's never happy after losing, so I can completely understand that. We have a long, long list of emails that we received here at webradio@patriots.com, and I want to start digging into them and reading them for you. A lot of people upset with Tom Brady. A lot of people not happy with his performance today. We'll get to one right now. Paul from Ontario writes in. Hey, Mark, top of the bad list has to be Brady, followed by pretty much the entire offense in the second half. The D had its moments. At some point, it looked good, and at other points, it looked not so good. Given the key personnel missing, I thought they were okay for the most part. The call at the end still has me shaking my head,
though. Why do I have NFL
game? Sorry about that. The call at the end still has me shaking my head, though. Mike Pereira tweeted the call was correct, but it's something that happens on every kick, every week, so why is this the only time it's been called? Unbelievable, but shouldn't be allowed to mask the fact that over the whole game, we didn't do enough to deserve the win. Paul, I think that's a very good take on it. As much as I question the enforcement of this rule at the time it was enforced, you look at this game, and there's a lot of things you can point to on the Patriots side of things that they could have done better and would have never been in this situation in overtime dealing with a rule call such as that. So, Paul from Ontario checking in on Brady. And Andy writes in. Andy writes, what's going on with Brady? He's missing open receivers. It's bad enough his receivers drop the ones he does get to them, but we've seen far too many not come close when they do get open. It's just too many games into the season for this still to be happening. Andy, I think it's a legitimate concern. There have been a number of drops this year. That's been a problem. We've talked about it. I didn't feel that was a problem today. Curious how you feel as well at 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Anders writes in, hey, man, I have to go with something good. It must be the return of Gronkowski, but that's about it. It's clear the secondary misses Tlaib, and the Jets absolutely exploited it. Sigh. Chris Jones, this might be harsh, but right now, I hope he never plays a snap for the Patriots ever again. Come on, Anders, come on. Get out of here with that. You're just upset after the loss. In fact, I don't blame the player at all. I don't think the player was making a decision. I think the player was doing what he was told to do on that play. I think it was designed that way. And in fact, the design may have come from Bill Belichick's understanding of that rule, which is the way in which he understood the rule was that it had to be from the second level. Now, you can blame Bill Belichick for not knowing that rule inside and out. There is reportedly some confusion as to how that rule was taught. And I mentioned right off the top today, the training camp and the things that the refs do when they visit training camps and they have the instructional videos and they go over the new rule changes with players and coaches and then also with media too. Those refs may have used a video in which it showed guys from the second level, and it may have been described as guys from the second level. So there may have been an error. But again, the only thing you can go by is what's in the rule book. And in the rule book, it was called correctly. So I don't blame Chris Jones at all. But let me continue with Anders' email. This will probably settle, though, but losing to the Jets is too much. to be fair and realistic, the Jets played good today, and they did deserve the win, especially with bad coverage and the ridiculous penalty that cost us the game and the bragging rights over and out. I'll have to go hibernate until next week. Let's go Pats. Continuing with your emails from Tony. Tony writes, Tom Brady did not play well, overthrowing and underthrowing all day. Where was that ball to Dobson? A pick six on your own 20? Tom Brady cost us the game. Where was the accuracy? Put him and Chris Jones on the bad list. No run stop whatsoever. These guys are making me mad. And he also writes, Geno Smith to him, a bum. That's where he puts Geno Smith. And he writes, we just beat Drew Brees last week, and now we lost to a bum. Listen, Geno Smith is a rookie. I think he has a chance to be a very good quarterback in the NFL. He's not that yet, but he could be. I wouldn't be writing him off so quickly. And if he stays with the Jets, you could be seeing a lot of Geno Smith in the years to come. Manuel writes in, now, with this record, I believe the best-case scenario we end the season is 11-5 or 10-6. Horrible execution defensively, horrible execution by the offensive line. Brady, no touchdowns again, rating at 53.5, overthrew too many passes. Patricia's defense looked lost. I lost hope on another Super Bowl this season. I hope next season Adrian Wilson, Will Fork Mayo, and Brady, yes, Brady, come back better than those. Than they are, I guess, is what he's saying. Only positive thing today was Gronk. People feeling very down, very, very down after this game today. We're going to continue with these emails at webradio@patriots.com. You can send those in. We do have wide open phone lines here at 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Get those thoughts in on email. Get those thoughts on the phone line. And we'll continue here talking about this Patriots loss. Patriots 5-2 on the year, but they still lead the AFC East. Not all is lost, but the Patriots do lose today. More of your calls and more of your thoughts coming up next.
Stay tuned for more analysis and reaction from tonight's game.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text when driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Wow, I just gave the wrong number there. I got to give you the right number, which is 855-PATS-500. That's a mistake. Zach, that's a mistake right there. I mean, it's a mistake. It's not something you can do. That's a bit of a problem. All I can do is laugh. Let's go back to the phones at 855-PATS-500. I'm sorry, it's instinctual. George is in New York. He's got some thoughts on this game. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Good. I know it was a tough pill to swallow today, but I'm getting real tired of all these fans with their negativity, saying this and saying that. You know, in a couple of years when we don't have Brady and Belichick, they're going to be sorry. And I think we need to love what we got.
Well, that's fine, George. But, I mean, if you're going to talk about the game – and you're just going to every week, no matter what happens, say everything's great, team's great, no. Bill's great, Dom's great. I mean, you can still talk about the game and say things didn't go well or they played poorly.
Well, that's fine. You know, I understand. Let's criticize the game. But, like, I just heard you say that. I hope he never plays another snap again. This is who we got, and we need to support them just as much as they need to play good, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, George. And, again, I think I think that email was in a little bit of jest and having to do with the bad loss at the end, but I don't think Chris Jones is the guy to blame for the loss. I don't think the penalty is what you blame for the loss. I don't think the penalty is it's easy to point to because that changed the way the game ended. But if there are things in terms of ranking why the Patriots didn't win the game, I don't think the penalty is the first thing on the list. I don't think that's the case. And if you think that, I think you maybe want to take another look at that game. Patriots made a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes against what I believe to be an inferior team. I think the Jets are an inferior team. They're not the same as the Patriots, even with the Patriots' injuries and their problems. Patriots lost to an inferior team today. Donnie writes in, Donald from New Hampshire here, so we lost four defensive players, and it definitely shows. We need players to step up and make plays. I hope Brady is okay with his hand. The last thing we need is to lose another great player. Now, about the referee that called that stupid penalty. Well, he writes a lot of not nice things about the referee. So, he says some nasty things to Rex Ryan as well. Donnie venting today. In terms of Tom Brady's hand, though, curious what happened there. You saw it on TV if you were watching the game broadcast. He seemed to be flexing out his throwing hand right on the back of his hand, where the base of the ring finger is. Like his base of where the middle finger, maybe the middle finger is somewhere there on his hand. I don't know what the issue was. May have a slight problem. May have just whacked it. Who knows? I mean, it might be fine. Rocco from Ireland writes in, the Patriots could easily have a losing record. And that's no joke. If you look back, we could be in trouble. I got to say, Rocco, I'm getting sick of that line of thinking. Like, we have enough things to look at and look at critically related to the Patriots and their game today. But I don't understand all these emails and calls we've gotten today saying the Patriots might have a record of 2-5 instead of 5-2. Well, they don't. Let's criticize things that actually happened instead of the things that didn't even happen. They're 5-2. They still lead their division. They still have one of the better records in the NFL. No need to jump on the panic button that hard. There's things you can be concerned about with this team related to the defense, related to the quarterback, related to things you saw today that don't involve we could be 2-5. Oh, I hate that. Stevie writes in, not a fan of the second half play calling. The last 3 weeks on offense, ball was spread out first half, second half, calls no good. Josh McDaniels is in a rough stretch right now. Rough stretch right now for the Patriots. I believe in Josh McDaniels as the Patriots offense coordinator. I think he's good. I think he will be good. He's had some questionable calls and some things that haven't worked out. That is true. Trey from Dallas writes in, one of our regular emailers. I was getting prepared to take this loss before that field goal because we had played a bad game and deserved to lose, in my opinion. I wasn't even going to be all that upset, but then that sad push call happened, and now I'm livid. Help my sanity, please. It's from T. Willis, Trey from Dallas. Trey, it's a good point. You were prepared to accept the loss, say it was a bad game, my team didn't play well, and then you have the bad call at the end. But it shows you have the right perspective. It wasn't the call that was the reason why the Patriots lost the game. Trey also gives us his good and his bad list. Gronk, Dennard, McCourty on the good list. I'd agree with that. Bad list. Brady, offensive line, Hightower, Arrington. I think Trey has some astute analysis of this game today. Laura writes in. Laura writes, hi, Mark. Great show. I like your take on things. One of my concerns has been the lack of a kickoff return and poor field position. Blunt was okay today, but it's never going to be a threat to blow one open. I like Julian, but he's not exactly setting the world on fire with his returns. Your thoughts? That's from that's actually from Al in Vancouver writing in. I had read the wrong name on that one. Al, tell you what. The not being able to blow things open, not a concern for me. In fact, I've had this conversation a number of times over the last couple of weeks, off the air, with friends, colleagues, etc. The NFL kickoff has become one of the most useless plays in the sport. Useless. How many kickoff returns have there been this year? Let me try and look that up for you right now in the NFL. Probably not too many. And the reason why is because on the majority of these plays, they're all touchbacks now. They're not being returned. And when they are returned, they get right out to about the 20-yard line. It has become a useless play in the NFL. That's the way it's become. And so having an explosive kick returner, I don't think is of significant value in the NFL anymore. I don't. So, you know, think what you want about it. I'm looking it up right now. Okay. Two touchdowns have been scored on kickoffs through the first 7 weeks of the NFL season. That's all. Two touchdowns. And the player with the best average kickoff return is Dwayne Harris for Dallas. He averages 34 yards a kickoff return. That's the best in the league. I'll find out where LeGarrette Blount is on that list. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I think that position as a kickoff returner and the play in and of itself has become useless in the league. To the point where I thought it was ridiculous to suggest when they switched where the kickoffs were kicked from to get rid of the play altogether in the NFL. I thought that was a ridiculous idea. I don't think it's all that ridiculous anymore. I'm not sure I totally want it and would agree with it because I like the ability to still make a play, even if it is only, you know, five times a year that someone turns it into something. But it has become a useless play. Let's go back to the phones. Levi's in New Orleans. Hi, Levi.
Yeah. You hear me about?
Levi, what do you got?
Yeah, I want you to know. I'm basically just two questions, basically. Do you think, you know, like in overtime that, like, you know, like it would have been smart, heavy, I had to, like, run the ball on first down?
I think it would have been smart to try some running plays there, yes.
Because, I mean, like, I know, you know, like the three consecutive on scoring plays, and, you know, it was actually like incomplete, you know, on all three of those plays, which caused the three and out. You know, I think, you know, had we run the ball on first down, which, you know, we just actually, you know, expected us to, you know, throw the ball, I think, you know, it would have been smart, you know, to run the ball and, you know, establish a good ground game, you know, like they did, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm also, my second question was, during the game, I think it was the third quarter, you know, where Brady had, like you said, over a decade in the pocket. Do you think, you know, he could have scrambled for about, you know, two or three yards that might have helped, you know, on a third and long situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it could have, Levi. I think all of those things could have helped the Patriots. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Tanisha is up next on Patriots.com. Postgame. Hi, Tanisha.
Hey.
What's up?
I don't understand why they cheated. It's so hard. Like, I can't get over this. I'm so puzzled about the fact that they call him the wrong sack. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't really watch football, but I saw that, and it wasn't against the full blown field goal. Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I think the penalty you're referring to is the penalty at the end of the game. And technically speaking, it was called correctly. It's never been called before, but it was called correctly. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. I'm going to go back to the email, Zach. Is that okay with you? Our producer, Kevin Collins, is with the team this week in New York, so we get Zach back there. Zach, I'm going to go back to the emails now, if that's all right with you. Mario from Irvine, California, writes in, Ridley, is he that bad of a pass catcher, route runner, and pass blocker that the Pats decide not to play him? He seemed to be the only effective running back they had in this game in all year. He was averaging 4.5 yards a carry against a good Jets D. When he was in, he looked good. Thanks, Mario. Mario, not his role. And I don't think the Patriots have any plans to use him in the role that you describe. It's not what he does. Brandon Bolden does that better than he does. Let's see. Let's keep going with the emails today. James writes in, I think the Patriots offense is struggling, but just because of the rookie factor. Yet I think in the first six games, the offense are starting to get accustomed to each other. Our biggest issue right now is injuries. As far as that last penalty, as far as I am concerned, due to the fact that Jones did not push, placing a hand on the backside is not a push, resulting in a blocked kick or injury to an opposing player, I feel the call was wrong. But win or lose, Patriots forever. That's from James. I will pose this question. What's the biggest issue for the Patriots on offense? The biggest problem. And I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about on the field, things that they have done poorly. I would say one of the big problems, the offensive line. Inconsistent play from the offensive line has been a problem. Tom Brady, I'm sorry, but he's one of the problems right now. He's had some issues. I would put him on the list. I would put rookie receivers on that list and their drops. I'd put that on the list. Drops, Brady missing guys when they are open, the offensive line. There's a lot of things going on there. I don't think it's simply the rookies. I don't think that's it. I don't think you look at the team and say they have rookies and that's why they're struggling offensively. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. Continuing with your emails, hey Mark with a C, the offensive line is underachieving. I believe a majority of them are high-level draft picks. What's going on with them? It's from Jacob in New Orleans. A lot of New Orleans people checking in on this show tonight. How you doing, New Orleans? Anyway, offensive line, inconsistent play, definitely a problem. They do have a lot of high draft picks there. I don't know exactly why they're not playing well, but they're not. And I'll tell you what. Going up against the Jets, though, no easy task. Sometimes you got to give the other team credit. I feel like the Jets, that's one of those teams. They have a good defensive line. They can bring the heat a little bit up front. Jay checks in. Mark, now that I've gotten to my senses, I'm not putting the blame on Chris Jones. Not at all. I want to put the blame on the coaching. Specifically, Josh McDaniels. The ball was being run so well. We matched up the most rushing yards the Jets have allowed this year. I'm sure we got over 75 yards. Yet all I was really seeing was the ball being forced to Gronk. It made us one-dimensional, and that's why we lost. Where was Edelman, KT, Cauley? Tom Brady could have won the game if he didn't overthrow Gronk in OT. We'll be fine. We're 5-2. I hope you read this email from a calm Pats fan. By the way, Patriots fans on Facebook are on the verge of killing each other. They believe Chris Jones should be cut. Anywho, keep doing what you're doing. I love your analysis. Cheers, Jay. Nobody should be asking for Chris Jones to be cut. Can we stop that too? Do you think Chris Jones decided on that play by himself? I'm going to take a step back, step to my right, and push the guy next to me. Or do you think that's how the play is drawn up? You heard the head coach of the Patriots in the post game say that he believed it was wrong. The call was wrong. Bill Belichick thought it had to come from the second level. So what makes you think the play wasn't designed that way? For him to provide that pusher to get through that hole with his hand on the backside of his teammate. So, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? Cut the player. What did Chris Jones do? Chris Jones was as stunned as anybody on that play. I don't think the players on the field knew the correct call, knew the correct rule. And it's up to their coach to know the rule, and he apparently didn't. Joel's in Atlanta. What's up, Joel?
Hey, Mark. How's everything tonight?
Doing okay. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to comment on, you know, just overall the Patriots calling in for the first time this season. And you hit it right there, the nail on the head. The issues with the offense, the issues with the offensive line, issues with Brady overthrowing his receivers. One thing that people need to understand, Brady does not have a strong arm. So a lot of his passes are either, if he throws them long, they're either going to be overthrown or they're going to be short. I mean, if you think about this, when Brady first got in the league in the page and he took over for Drew Bledsoe, a lot of his passes were what, dump offs? What, 5 yards? 5 yards here, 5 yards there.
Okay, so what are you trying to say?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Brady is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a winner. But, I mean, as far as with this season, people want to blame it on, you know, having rookie receivers. But if you think back in the past, who did we have when we were winning the first Super Bowl? We had people that you just got off the street. You put them. Belichick plugged them in, and I believe now the receivers that we have, Dobson, if if he will develop into a good or great wide receiver, he just needs to continue to practice and with repetition and playing games each Sunday, he'll get better. And the same thing with Thompson. Thompson, to me, was supposed to be the Patriots' second receiver this year. It's just that he kind of outplayed Dotson in practice, I'm pretty sure. But things will get better for the Patriots. It's just that we just got to continue to play. And I have one question for you. I know people want to get rid of Jones, you know, the guy that made a mistake today with the penalty, which wasn't his fault. I mean, of course, that I'm pretty sure that's how the play was designed. But do you think that since Ratliff was cut by Dallas, that there's any chance he might end up in New England?
I don't think so, and I think a big part of that is I think he's hurt. I don't think he's healthy enough to play. So I don't think he ends up anywhere for at least a little while.
Okay.
So I think
Mark, you're doing a wonderful job, man, for real. Again, this is my first time calling this season. I used to call in the past and talk to the other guys, but you're doing a great job and keep up the hard work. And I listen to you every Sunday during the post game. So I appreciate everything that you bring to us Patriots fans. You talk us off the ledge every Sunday, and I appreciate it, man. You guys are the best.
All right, Joel, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, man. Joel checking in from Atlanta. We got the South represented. We got New Orleans. We got Atlanta. All calling in today, all emailing in. And I know that a lot of you are still emailing in, and I'm trying to keep up with them here as they come in at a furious pace. Furious pace. Two very good emails I want to point out. One is from Steve, I believe. Yeah, I believe one is from Steve and one is from Rob. And they both raised the same point. Yeah, Bob M. and Steve are the two emailers here, and I think this is a terrific point. And they both emailed within like a minute of each other. They must have on the same brain wavelength or something. And it's a great point, and I didn't even think of it. I don't know why I didn't think of this or why anybody else hasn't raised this yet. Why is that penalty 15 yards? 15 yards for that? That's a 15-yarder for pushing a guy along the line? Now, I could see if you want to get it along with, you know, offsides or a procedural penalty where it's 5 yards. I could see that. 5 yards. Okay, I'll give you 5 yards. And again, the reason they put this rule into place was to try and cut down on injuries on the offensive line. What about guys going offside, unabated, not at the quarterback, excuse me, where they are slowed down, and they are nowhere near the quarterback, right? And yet the play continues, and it's pretty much a free play for the offense. Is there not a heightened risk of injury on those plays? There is. It's maybe a tiny fraction, which I feel the same way about this play. How is this worth 15 yards? That's a bad penalty. Here's something else I want to know going forward about this penalty. Is this going to get called now all the time in the NFL? Now that they've broken the seal on it, so to speak, they've cracked open the package. It's brand new. It's very shiny. They just ripped the shrink wrap right off of that box, and they opened that thing up today and had a coming out party for Rule 913B2 of the NFL rule book. I want to see how often that thing gets called now in the NFL. I really do. But listen, everybody, relax. The Patriots are 5-2. They're atop their division. They do have a stretch coming up in which they have two home games and then their bye week. Two home games and the bye. Miami next week, coming off a loss, Miami. Two teams coming off a loss. Miami and Pittsburgh and then the bye week. And then they take on Carolina, and hopefully they'll get someone like Shane Vereen back. He's eligible to come back that week. We'll see what happens there. But it's not the end of the world. The Patriots lost this game. Frustrating, maddening loss, though, if you're a Patriots fan. A lot of things to pick apart in this game, and I'm sure you'll continue to do it all week long. Continue to check in here at Patriots.com for all the coverage of this week as the Patriots get ready for the Miami Dolphins. Want to thank producer Zach Lane today, filling in for Kevin Collins, who was off in New York with the team. thanks to all of you who sent in your emails and reached out on the phone lines today, both before and after the game. The Patriots now 5-2 on the year after a loss today to the New York Jets. We'll be back next week. I'll be back next week with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we get ready for the game against Miami. So make sure you tune in for that. Tune in all week long for PFW in Progress with Fred and Paul and Andy, and catch up with those guys as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk again soon.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com Radio.
Luck on the play action. It's back to throw. Steps up. Lets it go. Open. And intercepted. Overthrew it to the far side. That's Tlaib at the 45, 40, 35. Back to the left at the 20. He's at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Aqib Tlaib.
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots return home to take on Mike Wallace and the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Snap to Brady. Close it downfield, open Edelman, he's got it, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.